second chapter of the book of St. Luke. Did I turn this on? I'm muted. Am I unmuted now? Can y'all hear me now? Okay. Bear with us just a second as I pull up our message. Bad when you can't see and can't hear. Here we go. All right, here we go. We're in the second chapter of Luke, and certainly we have been blessed as we've drawing near to the Lord in this season, in this life that we're living in. We're, again, grateful for all that God has done. But I believe God has a message for us this morning as we look at the second chapter of Luke. We also want to welcome those that are joining online. After this service, or the message rather, we're going to be having communion. So we ask that you prepare at home as we prepared here, that we'll be serving communion to celebrate why Christ came. And he said that you ought to do this in remembrance of him. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want to share this message as you anticipate the Christmas celebration. Don't forget God's glory. Look at somebody and tell them, "Remember God's glory." Look at somebody else and tell them, "Give him his glory." Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as we have started to bring out the things that you have laid upon our heart, that someone today might be blessed and set free. But most of all, that your name would be glorified and that you would indeed be honored. I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. I ask God that you would continue to lead us in your path of righteousness for your name's sake. We give you all the glory and we give you the honor, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. To the ministers and all that are assembled, our leaders here at the church, we are grateful that God has blessed us in so many ways. You know, our church, we are uncertain each year of what's going to happen and how we're going to move forward, but the beauty of it all is that we've stuck together. Isn't that wonderful? And God has blessed us through the ups and downs, through the trials. I know that many of you can look back over this year and you can look at the things that you had to go through, but right now you can say, "I made it." Amen. By the grace of God, I was able to overcome some challenges. That's right. It's something when we remember God's glory, when we remember not only what he did, but also who he is, what he means to us. I want us to reflect on this because we're going to see a couple of examples of God's glory But more importantly, we're going to see that reflected in Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who now lives and abides in our hearts. There are times when mankind must be reminded that it is God's glory and that He does all things after the counsel of His own will. God created everything, and He didn't ask for an amen. He didn't ask for a second. He didn't ask for opinions. God simply made all things, and He said it is good. It was done according to His will and for God's glory. So often in our lives, we as believers, we reflect more on what God has to give us rather than who God is as a person. So I'm reminding you today that God is not only almighty, but He's also a person. He is to be honored. He is to be adored. That's why the songs that we sung this morning was to help us reflect on who He is and why we as a people worship Him. We worship Him. We love Him and adore Him. And I want to tell you that as much as you worship and adore Him, it cannot compare with the amazing love that He has for you. I want to share with you that when Jesus came down, God's mercy was poured out. And it was poured out into our Savior. He is the embodiment of everything that God wanted to happen in our lives for good. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a hand for that. As I read the verse that we are looking at today, I thought about the passage where the angels made the proclamation, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And the word priority came to mind, because so many of us love to reflect on peace on earth, but if there's no glory in the highest, there will not be any peace on earth. And I think many of us as a people and as the race of humanity, we're seeing less peace because we're doing less reflection on God's glory. Today our world is filled with wars and rumors of wars. There's distress among nations. We've got war in Ukraine. We've got war in Palestine. There's war in Syria. There's wars. There's human trafficking that endangers our children. There is the traffic of drugs that endangers every one of us. So many things that are happening that we say, where's the peace? And what I would like for you to think about today, if you can find the glory, you'll automatically have the peace. If you can reflect on the glory and the majesty of God, it will do something to your life. It will cause you to realize that, you know what? Life is not so bad because I've got God. I've got a Savior who loves me. I've got a God who cares for me. You know, when we think about what Christ did and who He is, He brought all the glory down to us so that we could know this God in a personal way and in a powerful way. He wants us to embrace the truth, and that truth is what sets us free. So I want to ask you a question. What's on your heart today that's causing you maybe to feel a little bit weary? Yes, Christmas, but I'm not really into it because I don't have this or that's happened in my life. Well, I want to tell you, find the glory. If you can find the glory, you'll find the peace. You'll find the joy. You'll find what you need in order to not only make it through the holiday, but every day of your life. Come on, give the Lord another hand. So we've got to be careful that we're not interested more in the gifts and what God has to do for us, and you know He's going to do for you. He's always done that. When you woke up this morning, God gave you that wake-up call. He allowed you to get up. He allowed you to get ready and go to church and reflect on His goodness. And it's all for a reason, but we need to make sure that we're focused on Him, that we keep our eye on the one that gives rather than on the gift that's given. Amen? When you do that, God's going to do some amazing things in your life. Let's find the glory of God. Let's reflect on that, and let's remember why He's doing these things and why we are His people. There are two times that God mentions His glory. in these verses that we've just read. One is in verse 9 where the angel appeared, and the Bible says, "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." What we do many times is we'll think to ourselves, there's the angel and there's God's glory, but the word or the conjunction "and." The angel appeared, and of course he did have God's glory, but the glory of the Lord also appeared to let you know that this was God. There are times in our life where we can miss the glory because we're looking at the "and" or the gift, or we're looking at the thing that God gives rather than the hand that's offering it to us. Amen. God's hand is still outstretched today to anyone who has a need. Whether you're in a hospital room or whether you're in a place where you don't want to be, God's hand and his gift of mercy, his glory is shared because the Bible tells us that his glory is everywhere. You've just got to notice it. You've just got to pay attention. So verse 9 tells us when that angel appeared, God's glory appeared. I've got some amazing things to tell you that because you've got Christ in your heart, do you not know that you are a partaker of God's glory? So when the world tries to put you down and tell you what you are not, you just simply say what my grandma said a long time ago, I know I'm a child of God. And if you know that you're a child of God, you are one of the recipients of God's glory, and God's light will shine through you so all the world can see that you belong to him. Amen. That's amazing. Amen. This grace and this mercy of God. But he also mentions the glory of God when the angelic hosts, they began to praise him. And I've noticed that whenever the angels are mentioned in the presence of God, they automatically give God praise. In Isaiah chapter 6, the angels acknowledged the glory of God, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy," one to another, because they were looking at and beholding the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if ever was a time that you need to take your face out of that phone and just look up into heaven and say, "God, I know you're there," that time is now. If there was ever a time that our troubled world needed to look above, needed to look beyond the chaos of this world, needed to look beyond the human limitations and see God's glory, that time is now. When you see God's glory and when you remember who he is, then we can all rejoice together. And I love this, and we often say that together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. But it's hard to find the glory. It's hard to find the glory because of the fact that we get distracted. Did you stop to think, why in the world would God reveal his glory to shepherds? They were social nobodies. They were economically broke folk. Do we know about that? They didn't have it going on. So why in the world would God pick these guys and not go to the king? Number one, the king at that time didn't want to hear it. He thought he was a god. As a matter of fact, when he got the news that Jesus was born, he wanted to kill him rather than worship him. Some people are that same way. They want to kill the gospel. Don't tell me about that Jesus stuff. I don't want to believe it. That's because you've never seen his glory. Amen. If you could see his glory, you'd change your mind. If you could see his glory, you'd change your heart. If you could see his glory, you would see that he's more than any word or anything that we could ever say. Have you ever noticed that God is beyond everything you've ever imagined? Amen. And so simply, as Reverend Ray would say, we just had to say he's good. And we wish we could come up with a better word. Gooder is not properly English, and good is certainly is not. But he's just that good. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. So the angel appeared to these shepherds. And I believe that there's a simple reason for that. The Lord wanted the world to know that even the simplest people, even the folks that feel cast out and broken down, God says, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to reveal my glory so that you would understand that I don't look beyond anybody. The Bible, as Reverend Ray has said, quotes that scripture, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, God so loved everything in his creation, and God loved this world in which you and I live on, so much so that he said, I'm going to reveal my glory. That's the amazing God you serve. Never think that because he doesn't give you everything that you want. I wanted a new car for Christmas. I wanted a diamond ring for Christmas. Well, guess what? You can sing along with Eartha Kitt all you want to. You ain't going to get it. But you will get God. Some of y'all missed that. Y'all, you too sanctified. Okay. All right. Go on and talk to Santa if you want to. All right. But we see that there's a sense of priority. If you want to see the glory of God, you've got to look beyond everything else and know that God is real. You got to know that he's your shepherd. Don't just read the 23rd Psalm. Believe it. And when you start knowing that, and when you start recognizing who he is and what he's doing in your life, he doesn't have to give you all these things. He just has to show up. How many of y'all ever had God to show up? And even when he comes, he doesn't turn everything around immediately, but just his presence in your life, just to know that he is God and just to know that he knows about you. Amen. We sing that song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. It certainly is. But you got to know that God exists. The Bible says that when we believe that God exists, when we know that he is our God, then things will begin to happen. We walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. We depend upon his goodness. It's a sense of priority. So I want to proclaim this day, as we prepare for Christmas, the most important thing that could ever be done in this world is for you to recognize God. Amen. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else, it'll fall in line. That's my interpretation of it anyway. It'll fall in line. The other thing is purpose. Those shepherds saw that God had a purpose. And it wasn't just to behold the angels. So often, what people will do, they will see some phenomenon and they will see something happening. They say, oh, that's amazing, that's God. And certainly it is God who works these things out. But God doesn't just want to show you that just for that event. In other words, we have a great event. And the reason why I'm saying this is because many of you, after Christmas Day is gone, you're gonna go like this. You ever seen that bell-shaped curve? You're going to go like this. Yay, it's Christmas. And you don't see everything under the tree. And so immediately it comes down on there. And you feel let down. There are a lot of people that go through depression during the Christmas holidays. Why? Because they feel let down. But if you can understand that there is a purpose, can I go back and tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. After Christmas, guess who's going to be walking by my side? Guess who is going to be pointing the way and showing me how to live my life for his glory? God Almighty. He will not leave you on December 26th. I guarantee it. He's going to be with you. He's going to be with you forever. So lift up your heads and recognize that God has a purpose for everything. He told the shepherds, to you it is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. They had been looking for him. Even the shepherds who weren't theologians. They weren't wise men. They didn't know everything. They probably could give reference to it, but they had a deep, abiding hope in their heart is that God is going to show up. The Messiah of Israel is going to come, and we are going to be set free from everything in our life. And guess what? The angel said, this day. What I want you to think about is not yesterday. Can I get some help? And what I want you to think about is not tomorrow. Everybody say this day. If you are going to see the glory of God, it's not in some past thing that you looked at. Okay? And it's not going to be in some future thing that you're looking for. It's going to be right now. Why? Because God wants you to trust Him right now. That becomes your reality. And when that becomes your reality, your future is already determined. Oh, I wish I could preach up in here. Some of you missed it. In other words, if you have the faith in God now, the glory of the Lord will appear in your life. And because His glory is shining around you, you're not worried about tomorrow. You're not worried about what's going to happen this day or on that day. And, oh, I've got this going on in the future. You know that your future and your life is in the hand of God because you see His glory. As we look to these things, we understand that God not only has a purpose and a priority, but there is some things that you and I need to do. What's that? What's my responsibility? And the first is pay attention. Pay attention. We're being drawn into a lot of stuff that we don't even need to be thinking about. Why am I going to worry about what my neighbor is doing next door? Let them burn the bread if they want to. I don't care. Why am I so concerned about things which I have no control over? My job is to pay attention. It's to focus on the Lord and His power and to know that He will direct my path if I depend upon Him. The shepherds paid attention. And that's why so many other people around Jerusalem didn't see what they saw, didn't hear what they heard. But they said, we know it because God appeared. By the way, traditionally, shepherds were known for telling a lot of lies. Yeah. So, and that blew my mind, Joe, when I thought about it. Why in the world would God show His truth to people who were known to tell a lot of tall tales? Man, guess what I saw last night? Here's the reason why. God wanted them to talk about something that people had to believe by faith. I wasn't there when Jesus did all these things. I wasn't there at the manger. I wasn't there with the shepherds when they saw the angels. Wasn't there when they took Jesus and nailed Him to a cross. Wasn't there when He rose again. But guess what? I believe. Amen. I heard the story, and I'm glad these boys told the story because everything that they told about Jesus, I found out to be real. He's a waymaker. He's a burden bearer. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a doctor when you need him. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. Can I get some witnesses in here? But the thing I like about it, Melvin, more than that, he's my friend. He didn't have to befriend me. As a matter of fact, I didn't send him a Facebook notice, be my friend. He sent me a word from heaven and said, if you befriend me, I'll love you forever. Can I get some witnesses in here? My question to you is, do you know him? If you know him, you'll know that he's all that and more. Let's celebrate his birth. Let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord by paying attention. But not only did they pay attention, the Bible said that there was something that happened with the angels. Now, one angel would have been enough. One angel would have been enough, Jesse. What angel? That's all God took. He sent Gabriel to announce to Mary, this is going to happen, Mary. And that one angel would have been enough, but the rest of the angels said, we want part of this. Now, here's something else that I notice in this text. If angels can get happy over what you're going to be blessed with, what's wrong with you? Amen. If they can rejoice and say, thank God, glory to God in the highest, what's wrong with us if we're getting the blessing? Amen. Are y'all here? Yes. When you reflect on that, there was with the angel a multitude, and that word multitude means thousands of them. Thousands of them. You think a whole lot of folk on the earth. A couple of weeks ago, we told you the number was 8.1 billion people. 8.1 billion people. I ran out of zeros. My calculator couldn't calculate. That's how many people that are on the earth, but there are more angels than there are people. So we often think because the devil got one third of the angels, that he's going to put on a big fight and he's going to win. Ain't no way in the world he can win. I learned simple math. Two-thirds beat one-third any day of the week. One-third said, we're going to go crazy and we're going to turn against God. But two-thirds said, no, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stick with God. My question to you, how many of y'all gonna stick with God? Huh? The angels joined together and they proclaimed glory to God in the highest. Here's that word, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Where's the peace? The peace has to come after the glory. Get the glory right, you'll get the peace right. Next time you find yourself in trouble, can't see your way out, ask yourself this question. If I don't have any peace, I need to look for the glory. Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if I don't have any peace, I need to find the glory. And that's exactly what these shepherds did. They said, you know what? We're going to find God's glory. And that's not hard to find. Matter of fact, Isaiah 6:3 says His glory is everywhere. Look at that verse. Let's say it together. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Now, what I learned is if you can't find it, you must be shutting your eyes or looking at something else. That can be our problem. That can be our issue. That can be the thing that really gets in our mind. Now, here's what we need to do. We need to follow what the shepherds did. If you're going to find God's glory, the first thing, respond to the message. They could have said, you know what, the angels sing them, that's enough for us. The angels we have heard on high. And they could have sung that the rest of their life. But no, after the angels went away back into heaven, they began this discourse. Said, you know what, let's go see. Let's go find out this thing that the Lord has made known to us. Did he say Bethlehem? That's what he said. All right, let's go find it. Now, there were a lot of stables. There were a lot of places that they could have searched. But, if you're on a journey to find God, he's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So when they left that side, by the way, who's going to take care of the sheep? The Lord said, don't worry about the sheep. You worry about the shepherd. And you're going to find that when you go down to that manger, you're going to see more than a baby. You're going to see a good shepherd. You're going to see the shepherd that I've sent to gather people together so that they cannot be lost. They responded to the message. My question to you is whether or not we're going to respond to God's message. Don't just open your ear. Open your heart. You know, it's got a door to it, right? It's got a door to it. And I'm looking at a lot of young people now. If ever was a time that you needed the gospel, that time is now. You need the good news that Jesus Christ has come into this world, because this world is going to leave you in a place where you're going to be confused. You're not going to know what's real and what's not real, but I can tell you that the Savior is real. And He makes Himself known. Second thing the shepherds did, they repeated God's message. Everybody say repeat.
Repeat.
We love to repeat stuff anyway. Guess what I heard? Yeah, I heard so-and-so did such and such. And then it ain't gonna stop there. Really? There's a time in our life where we need to repeat what is real and what can help people. The only way that this world can be made better is that people have to believe that it can be made better. That it's not doom and gloom. That everything's not going down the tube. God's still in charge. And we've got to repeat that message. God still loves the world. We've got to repeat that message. God still cares about people. We've got to repeat that message. What happens is that so often, because the bad news sounds relevant, ladies and gentlemen, we repeat that. But I want you today to leave out of here going out with the good news, telling people, I know God is real because He's real in my soul. Repeat it. Repeat it. The scripture says that when those shepherds, after they had gone and when they had seen, matter of fact, in verse number 17 of Luke 2, it says that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the Christ child. They told everybody. We just sung that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. You may not live on a mountain. You may live on the street on the corner. That's how I go tell it. Go tell it. Go tell it. Let everybody know that Jesus is real, that God is so good. And don't let the testimony be about you. Don't let it be about what, well, I'm going to tell you what the Lord did for me. Yes, he did some mighty things, and certainly you can share that as part of it, but that ain't all of it. You got to let it be known that God is the one who gets all the glory. God is the one who gets the full attention. Then lastly, the shepherds, not only did they tell what they had seen and they responded to God's message, but lastly, they relived the message. Relive the message. Do you not know that every time you praise God, you're reliving, rehearsing what the Lord has done for you? You're rehearsing that. Every time you lift your hands up to the Lord, you're rehearsing something. Something in your heart reminds you, the Lord did that for me. And the world can't take it away from me. Some of you have been healed this year. Did you give God thanks? You're reliving it. You're reliving that moment where the Lord delivered you. Some of you were in financial trouble and the Lord brought you through. Am I preaching to somebody? Well, I better go and talk to the folks online. Amen. You know what God did for you. And if you don't recognize him, who else is going to tell the story? Who else is going to know what God can do? It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do the same for you. I love to hear good testimonies. I love to hear it when people are telling me, well, the Lord did this, especially when I know I got to go down that same path and I might encounter some of the same dangers. But when they tell me he brought me through dangers, both seen and unseen, I can praise him. Amen. Guess what the shepherds did? The Bible said they returned. They went back to their sheep. They went back to their sheep, but they went back a certain way. In Luke 2:20, it says that they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Get the word straight. Get the word straight. Don't be making up stuff. If it ain't in the Bible, don't repeat it. Get the word straight. I hear people tell stories all the time. You know, well, the Bible said that, Lord, make a way out of nowhere. I ain't read that one yet. That must be in the Apocrypha or something. And the other one, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Where that verse at? When you get it straight, now you are going on something that has withstood test of time, the test of man, and also the test of truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's amazing what people are believing now. Some of y'all that are getting glazy eyes, I'm getting ready to close now. When the preacher said that in the sermon, everybody wake up, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, man. Yeah, man, he's getting ready to close, man. He's going to give us some points. So I just thought I'd throw that one in there. In the 1860s, our nation was torn like never before. Civil War was going on. Great fight for the freeing of the slaves. An abolitionist by the name of Julia Ward Howe wrote a tremendous hymn. But the backstory to that, as I was reading about it, Christine Wirtz, she's a researcher and a historian, and she wrote about the background of this song and what it meant and how people were impacted by it. By the way, the Union soldiers, they had a war cry when they would go out to battle, and it was the name of the song was John Brown's Body. Remember John Brown? He got killed in West Virginia because they considered him a traitor because he was trying to revolt on behalf of the slaves. John Brown lost his life, and that became the rallying song of the Union Army. Of course, the Southern Army, their song was Dixie. I wish I was in Dixie. And they would sing that song. But there was something about these words that Julia Howe penned to the writing. And it's befitting here at Christmas because when we think about the purpose of why Christ came, he came to show us God's glory. And the first verse of that hymn says, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. We as black people, we often think that we earned our own freedom, but a lot of white people died for you singing this song. You need to remember that. They were motivated by something that was deeper than just, we don't like you all. Now, I don't think it was about liking or hating people. It was all about what was God's glory. What have you seen? What have you heard? When some of the prisoners that were being held in Richmond, Virginia, some of the prisoners of the 122nd Ohio Volunteer Unit, when they got the news that the Union Army had won at Gettysburg, and that was the turning point of the war, in their prison, some of them were injured, sick, and they were enduring the hardships of imprisonment. They sung this song, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And in that prison, when they sung that song, even the Confederate soldiers had to bow their head. There's something great about it, ladies and gentlemen. It really puts Christmas in perspective, because Christ had a purpose. He wanted to set us free from our sin. He wanted us to be redeemed because we were lost and could not know God. If you would, he wanted to sign a proclamation that was written in his blood. You are free. You are free. A year later, when the chaplain who led that group in singing that song, Chaplain Charles McCabe, a little year later, 1864, McCabe was invited to come up to Washington, be a part of the celebration, and President Lincoln and others had gathered there. And Chaplain McCabe, who was released because they thought he was dying of typhoid, rose up and sung that song, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword, his truth. Is marching on, focus on his glory. And as they sung the chorus, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah," our God is marching on. Amen. Tears began to fill the eyes of the people. Lincoln stood up with tears in his eyes, and people were thinking that he's going to tell us not to sing the song, and his words were, "Sing it again. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on." Some of you can remember the last sermon preached by Dr. Martin Luther King, April the 3rd, 1968, in the city of Memphis. He stood that night and he proclaimed these words, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that as a people, we will get to the promised land." And then he says, "I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I fear no man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." When you are looking at God's glory, you're not worried about your situation. You're not worried about what I got to go through. You know that God is with you, and if he is with you, he's more than the world against you. Church, we are at a good place in time. Why? Because God's glory is revealed. Look up and see the glory of God. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Can you say that with me? Glory. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Oh, I like that. Some of y'all seeing, you're seeing the glory now. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Oh, we're singing glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Singing glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Shout some. Yeah, come on. Heaven and heaven and nature. He rules the world. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nation prove. Oh, the glories of his righteousness and wonder. Come on, get your praise on. Get, yep, that's it. Yeah. Oh, singing glory. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Communion, I want us to pray this prayer. I want us to pray this prayer because I know some of you struggle this year. I don't know what's going on inside of you, but on the look on your face, it tells I've been through something. I've had some ups and some downs. But I don't want you to look at what was behind you. I want you to notice the glory, the glory of God. Let's pray this prayer together. God of glory, thank you for revealing your goodness and your mercy to mankind. Now point to yourself and to me. We celebrate today by giving you the glory that is due to your holy name. We receive your everlasting peace into our hearts. Thank you for the salvation gift of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. In his name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to give the invitation right now. I want to give the invitation. If there's someone today that you want to give him glory, but you got to start by giving him your life. You just got to trust him. You just got to trust him and know that he is God. The Bible tells us, be still and know that I'm God. So if you're here today, or maybe you're online and you said, preacher, you said some things that resonated with me, and I want to know this God. All you got to do is say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. God will do his part of giving you his salvation. Maybe there's someone today that you're not a part of a church. You want to be a part of our church family. We invite you to come. As we often say, the doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let him come. If there be one today, this Christmas time of the year, wonderful time, and we have a wonderful God. Amen. For the last time, give the Lord a hand clap as you take your seat. Amen. God bless you. Jesus was betrayed. He took bread. By the way, he wanted us to know that he was the bread of life. Isn't that wonderful? But he also gave them the cup. That cup represented his blood that was shed, that was poured out for you and I. And he said, as often as you do this, you do in remembrance of me. Prayer in just a minute. I want to make sure that everyone is served. I can't get that out of my mind. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Singing glory. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you, Lord, that we have seen your glory in your word. You opened your word to us. And Lord, it was like the disciples who walked along the roadside to Emmaus. Our heart burned within us as you opened the scripture. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as we partake of this bread and this cup, we ask you to bless it as only you can. Let us receive it with gratitude. Let us recognize all that you've done for us. And Lord, the future, what you plan to do in us. Bless it now, we pray in Jesus' name. Let us take up the cup, or let's take up the bread rather. Let us eat together. Now let us take up the cup. Let us drink together. Brother Joe is going to come at this time and dismiss us in prayer. Do y'all love God?
Amen.
Amen. Let us love one another. Amen. Reverend Ray's got to announce. He got some gifts for y'all. Some of y'all. Not everybody, but just some will have and some will not. Amen.
My questions are mine. This is close to the subject, but can we just meet with all the Diggins and the wives? The ministers to Brother Fred come to, and the summer school and your assistant, man. Just feel free, man. Okay?
That's all stand. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to celebrate the birth of Christ. And that, oh God, by this celebration, Lord, we know that so many of us who have are participants of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit can share with others. And in sharing, oh God, that we can introduce the one who has changed our lives to someone so they too can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit to serve you and be saved. We thank you for the message today. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for him reminding us, oh God, that there is a mission for us. And that is when we leave this place, when we leave this sanctuary, or those who are listening and who have heard this message will be able to share it with goodness in their heart, knowing, oh God, that Jesus has come to this world and to save the world from sin. Thank you for this privilege. We thank you, oh God, that in the spirit of giving, we pray, dear God, that all of us can participate in giving back to you, oh God, what you have blessed us with. We pray your blessing upon it, this offering, that it may continue to be used not only, Father, to proclaim your word, but to reach out to those who are in need so that they can see your glory being revealed in everything that we do. Thank you for this privilege. And as we dismiss, Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you this season and throughout our entire lives, so that we can share Christ, we can introduce Christ, and that we can love him in a manner that will allow us to do his will. We pray this blessing in Jesus' name.